And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I'm going to hit you with something called false beliefs. I'm going to stand here in front of my microphone, and I'm going to tell you something about self-limiting beliefs. Well, wait a minute, Al, you just said false beliefs a moment ago. Why are you talking about self-limiting beliefs now? Because they're the same. They are. They're totally the same. So why am I bringing up this concept of self-limiting or false beliefs? The reason I'm doing it is because I think you have them. And here's why I know this. Because at one point in my life, I had self-limiting beliefs. I had beliefs that I thought were absolutely true that kept me from doing certain things because I believed what I believed, and only to find out they were false beliefs. They weren't true. They kept me from advancing. They kept me from doing something that would have been beneficial to me and my family. But because I believed a certain way, I didn't do anything about it. So the opportunity, it slipped away. So what are these self-limiting beliefs? What are these things that get into our psyche that make us like not do anything? Well, I actually have a list for you. You want to hear the list? Okay, this is not a all-inclusive list. This is just merely a list that I came up with of self-limiting beliefs, and I'm going to hit you with each of them. And as I hit you with each of these self-limiting beliefs, I want you to honestly think about them and answer in your mind. Don't shout at the radio because everybody will know what we're doing. But answer in your mind whether or not you have fallen victim to these self-limiting beliefs. Now, the first one affects guys like me. May not affect guys like you or gals like you, but it affects guys like me. You ready for this one? I'm too old. Yeah, I'm too old. Too old for what? Too old to do what? Well, sometimes you start thinking, my time has passed. I've done everything that I could accomplish in my youth. And now I'm in my elder years. And I'm thinking that I'm just too old to go snowboarding, or too old to get into real estate investing, or too old for, you know, figure it out. It's a self-limiting belief. You're never too old. What about this one? I'm not smart enough. Yeah, I live that one. I totally live that one. And here's how I live that one. You want to hear how I live that one? When I was in the United States Army, I had a baccalaureate degree. And that baccalaureate degree was good enough to get me promoted to the rank of captain. But if I wanted to be competitive, to be promoted to the rank of major or beyond, the requirements that the Army wanted me to fulfill were educational requirements. They wanted me to have a master's degree. At the end of the day, if I didn't have a master's degree, I would have been eliminated for competition for promotion because everybody else had them. I didn't have one. See, I wasn't smart enough. At least that's what I believed back in the day. I thought that because I wasn't smart enough, I had to go back to school, spend a bunch of money I didn't have to get a degree that I probably didn't need so that I could be competitive in the workforce for a job that paid me a raise that was a lot less than what I spent on the education. Self-limiting belief. I'm not smart enough. All right, here's another one. Kind of ties in with the one I just gave you. I'm not educated enough. Totally ties in with the one I just gave you, doesn't it? Yeah, it's not true. It's a self-limiting belief. Here's another one. I'm afraid of trying and failing. Now, I want you to honestly answer in your mind if you've been victim of that one. I'm afraid of trying and failing. Fear. Fear is like the number one thing that will keep you from accomplishing your goals and objectives. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failing. Fear of fill in the blank. It's a big one. How about this one? This one is directly tied to real estate investing. You have to have money to make money. False belief. Now, you need to have some money to start with. But the conventional wisdom is, if you're going to make $1 million, you got to start with $1 million, right? That's what you've heard. That's what I heard. Not true. Not true at all. And we talk about it ad nauseum on this radio show on how you can get into real estate assets with not a ton of money, but you do need some money. But you don't necessarily have to already have made the money in order to make the money. See, that's the false belief right there. I've tried everything already. False belief. You're never out of options. How about this one? It's selfish of me to want more. Hogwash. Hogwash. What about this one? I don't feel that I really deserve it. Or this one, I don't have the willpower. Or this one, all the good ones are already taken. What these are self-limiting beliefs. These are all examples of self-limiting beliefs. Did you know that limiting beliefs are actually false beliefs that we hold about ourselves? They restrict us, they inhibit us, and they generally make us feel miserable. Yeah, that's what false beliefs do to you. They exist unquestioned in our minds. We simply accept them as the rules that we have to live by. Everyone has them, and they usually reside in our brains for many, many, many years. Yeah, false beliefs. Yeah, they're not good. No, trust me, false beliefs are not good. So you might be asking yourself, is this a belief or is it a truth? Well, if we accept limiting beliefs to be true, accurate and factually correct, then we stop interacting openly and freely with certain aspects of our lives. This can create significant consequences for ourselves, even without us realizing it. People often confuse beliefs with truths, when in fact, the two are actually completely different things. Now, a belief is a personal acceptance that something exists or is true. Beliefs don't require evidence of proof, and they often rely on trust, faith, and having confidence in something or somebody. Truths, on the other hand, conform with reality. Based on facts and evidence, they can be verified as real and certain, but they cannot be argued with. Just because we believe something doesn't necessarily make it true. Some of the beliefs that we hold are purposeful, and they protect us from harm. As an example, if we touch a pan that has just been removed from the oven, we're probably going to get burned, right? Okay, well, these kind of beliefs absolutely accord with the truth. However, this is not the case with limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs are constructed from our past experiences. They're often shaped and formed at an early age. They are naive, misinformed, and shrouded in inaccuracy and usually just plain simply wrong. In short, limiting beliefs aren't truths at all. They are not the factual entity that we perceive them to be. And despite this, we treat them as too important or valuable to be interfered with. In other words, we tend to hold them sacred. We do. We hold them close to our heart, close to our chest, and we believe them to be true. We accept them without question, and we don't mess around with them. But sadly, they have a devastating effect on the way we live our lives. They hold us back, they cause us to make inaccurate judgments, and they curtail our enjoyment of life. And even worse, it's an epidemic. We all have limiting beliefs. We hold them about ourselves, others, our relationships, and the world in general. These beliefs guide us, we follow their rules, and we don't question their validity. We hold beliefs about what we're able to accomplish, about the rights and permissions that we have, and about what we are allowed to do. Let me share some of these examples of limiting beliefs that may be affecting you. And you may have already heard these in today's show, but I'm going to say them again. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve her love and admiration. I'm not a nice person. I am not attractive, intelligent, or funny enough. I will fail. I can't make a fuss. I need to keep quiet. I will embarrass myself if I fill in the blank. Okay, those are all false beliefs. So just how are limiting beliefs or false beliefs formed? I mean, how are they created in our psyche? Well, these beliefs are commonly formed in childhood and adolescence. They're a product of our experiences, and a significant experience at any point in our life can give rise to a new limiting belief. Like the tip of an iceberg above the water level, Limiting beliefs are actually based on a complex body of evidence that sits beyond our frame of immediate consciousness. In other words, we may not be able to even explain why we accept as true some of the limiting beliefs that we hold. Often, the evidence base is thin and inaccurate, like a bad police drama on TV. You've seen those, right? Yeah, I'm not talking about Dragnet. That was a really good police drama. All right, let's get back to the show, though. The brain is an amazing thing. It does a lot for us that we don't fully understand. And based on some reading that I've done, I have found that when we encounter an experience, our brain draws conclusions from the encounter or the action. Every experience leaves an impression which is processed and stored. A part of our brain called the reticular activating system, or RAS, I'll call it RAS, organizes all this information so that it can be consulted again when needed, just like our own personal reference library. As an example, let's say I have this experience. I fell over when I didn't tie my shoelaces. So what was my impression? I must first tie my shoelaces to stop myself from falling over. The RAS does a remarkable job at recalling and filtering information. Have you ever thought about buying a red car and all of a sudden, all you see everywhere you go, it's red cars everywhere. They just appear out of nowhere. It's because the RAS hums along quietly in the background, providing us with the information that we need on demand. But there is a problem. The course taken by the RAS is determined by our individual focus and our belief system. The RAS is incredibly compliant. If we think that we are a failure, the RAS will kick into action and provide you with the evidence you need to conclusively prove this belief. One glorious bit after another. It's always happy to help. Always there to lend a hand. Super convenient, right? Okay, let's do this. We're coming up on the end of the segment, but what I want to do is I want to switch gears and I want to talk to you a little bit about the immature brain. That's the brain we all had during childhood and adolescence. It wasn't perfect, and some of the information stored by the RAS is based on inaccurate conclusions drawn from our childhood inexperience and even from emotional trauma that occurred in later life. Even though the RAS is great, it also has its distinct downsides too. When we come back from the break, I'll share those with you. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Lisa appreciates having mentors who have her back.
Having the faith to move forward and y'all have everything provided, I could call a mentor and say, hey, I don't know what to do. Someone is always there to guide you. I have backup.
Lifestyles Unlimited, over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join now for $297, a 60% savings. Lifestyles Unlimited. Text radio to 88007.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the second half of the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. My name is Al Gordon. I'm going to switch gears on you. If you're just joining me and you'd like to reach out to me, the best way to do it is to send me an email at askal@luinc.com. That's askal@luinc.com. askal@luinc.com. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And we're doing so today by talking about the concept of false beliefs. You've got them. I've got them. Everybody's got them. We develop them in our youth. And many of these false beliefs that we develop in our youth, they stick around for the ride through our adulthood. And they have a tendency to guide some of the decisions that we make because we believe certain things to be true when indeed maybe they're not true. Pretty wild stuff, right? Okay. Well, we got to the part in the radio show where I was talking to you about something called the reticular activating system, or the RAS, R-A-S. And what the RAS does is it's a part of your brain that organizes all kinds of information so that it can be consulted again when needed, just like our own little personal reference library. But here's the problem. The RAS itself, even though the RAS is great, it has its distinct downsides too. It's just doing its job. It's regurgitating information. But just like the internet, some of the information it contains is junk. It will always do its best to make the evidence fit the belief, distorting, deleting, and generalizing it like a crooked lawyer in a criminal trial. I think that an author by the name of Tobias Van Schneider summed it up pretty well when he said, "The RAS, or the RAS as we're calling it, seeks information that validates your beliefs. It filters the world through the parameters you gave it, and your beliefs shape those parameters. If you think you are bad at giving speeches, you probably will be. If you believe you work efficiently, you most likely do. The RAS helps you see what you want to see, and in doing so, influences your action." Pretty interesting stuff, right? You didn't know we were going to get into psychobabble today, but yeah, we're deep into your mind. Have you ever noticed the impact on your life that originated from your childhood beliefs? This can sometimes be quite amusing, especially when you notice some of the rules that you follow simply because they were implanted by your parents early on in your childhood. For example, I cannot leave food on my plate because I was taught from a child that it is not allowed under any circumstances. Now, I reflect on all the children that were starving in the world at that time without ever comprehending that the food on my plate would never survive the logistics necessary to feed even one of them. As children, we take at face value the things that our parents tell us. We believe them without question. After all, why would our parents lie to us? Well, the same applies to people in positions of authority. Unfortunately, not everyone is in full possession of the truth or even a balanced view. As children, we are fed inaccurate information, which is then filtered by our immature brain and then stored in our RAS, leaving a lasting impact. For this reason, most people can trace their fear of speaking in public back to a traumatic event in childhood, like speaking in front of a class and getting tongue-tied. Yeah, we are sophisticated creatures. We are. And as such, it's actually surprising how quickly we make decisions, often based on very little factual information, and how heavily we rely on our feelings. Have you ever been in a situation where no matter how hard you try, the other person doesn't want to hear the truth or accept the facts? Yeah, you've been there, haven't you? I've been there too. All right. Author David Straker makes the following observation. You want to hear it? Well, you're going to hear it now because I'm going to share it with you. He says, people make many decision errors. For example, based on poor estimation of probabilities, we take a little data and generalize it to everything. We go on hunches that are based more on subconscious hopes and fears than they are on reality. The word because can be a surprisingly hazardous word. When we use it, it seems like we're using good reason, but this may not be so. We like to understand cause and effect and often do not challenge reasoning that uses the mechanisms of rational argument. Man, that was hard to get all that out, but I think he makes a very good point. So why don't we talk a little bit about fear and failure? Because I think fear and failure is one of those reinforcing behaviors in your life that potentially caused your false beliefs. Because fear is a common cause of limiting beliefs. Social fear, the thought of being laughed at, judged, criticized, all of that is a powerful and unhelpful motivator. Too often, we simply don't take a risk because we are certain of the consequences, how wrong we are. Failure is also a culprit in the creation of our limiting beliefs. As David Straker points out in the following statement, when we do something and it does not work, we often explain away our failure by forming and using beliefs which justify our actions and leave us blameless. But in doing so, we do not learn and may increasingly paint ourselves into a corner, limiting what we will think and do in the future. So now that you get it, you probably have limiting beliefs. So how do you identify them? How do you spot those limiting beliefs? Well, we will often start our sentences in a manner that is guided by our limiting beliefs. In other words, you start a sentence with the phrase, I can't. So let me give you the rest of the sentence. I can't stand up and speak in public eloquently. Okay, that's a false belief. That is a statement that a false belief is coming out. You want to hear another one? I shouldn't or I must. Want me to give you the whole thing? I shouldn't be too open and talk about my feelings. False belief. I think you should. Want to hear another one? I am not. I am not as capable as the other people in the office. Then there is the should word. This one drives me bananas because when you say you should, you are shoulding all over yourself. You really are. So when you say, I should, you could be saying, I should visit my parents every weekend. Okay, as we mature and the limiting beliefs become established and embedded in our minds, we grow up from childhood into adulthood. But along the way, we adapted our behavior to cope with the limiting beliefs that we hold. These behaviors often continue into adulthood. Let me give you some examples. Here's a limiting belief. I am not loved. Now, why do people say that? I don't know. Maybe they believe it. Chances are they are loved, but for some reason, they have come to believe in their mind that they're not loved. Let me give you another false belief. I am lazy, no good, useless compared to others. Now, there are people that believe that in their psyche. For whatever reason, they have been conditioned to believe that, and the RAS is more than happy to remind them of that. Does that make sense? Now, if you're somebody that's dealing with these false beliefs, you know what you need to do? You need to question those beliefs. You actually have to take a step back and you have to run through the inventory of your brain and you have to start thinking about what you believe. And when you come across a negative belief, because false beliefs usually have a negative connotation to them. If you haven't gathered that so far in this radio show, let me just hand that to you and let you know that false beliefs usually come with a negative connotation. They don't normally come with a favorable connotation to them. They usually tend to be negative. Now, there can be some examples where they could be favorable, but you would be going to the other extreme. Does that make sense? Okay. So what do you do? What do you do with a false belief when you identify it? Well, the first thing you need to do, call it out. Call it flat out. Call it out. For instance, let's talk about this one. I've got an example here and let's talk about it. I am weak for showing my emotions and getting upset. Why would somebody think that? Because chances are they were in a situation where somebody was in a superior position to them, or at least they perceived somebody being in a superior position to them, reinforcing some type of behavior that made the individual think that they are weak for showing their emotions and getting upset. If you're dealing with that false belief, crush it. I'm serious, crush it. Kill it. Kill it in place. Because false beliefs are holding you back from having the life that you choose to have. Did you know there's false beliefs associated with real estate investing? There's a ton of false beliefs associated with real estate investing. You want to hear some of them? Okay. Real estate's risky. I mean, you can't guarantee what people are going to do once they're in your property. They'd be totally negligent. Burn the place down. You know what I say? Burn, baby, burn. Because I'm going to rebuild it to brand new condition using other people's money. I'm not going to lose any income because I'm going to have the right type of insurance products on the property. I'm going to have something called loss of rent insurance on the property so that I'm going to get paid every month whether I have a resident in the unit or not. Just because it burned down doesn't necessarily mean that real estate is risky. No, it's just a peril that happened that affected people. But at the end of the day, real estate itself is not risky when you know how to do it correctly. Another false belief that's out there about real estate has to do with the time commitment. Now, there are a lot of people that believe that investing the way I invest is the equivalent of taking down another 40-hour-a-week job. And it's not true. It's absolutely not true. Now, I do spend a little bit of time daily on my real estate, but it's not a lot of time. The majority of my time is spent doing what I choose to do, not poring over my real estate. Real estate investing is a passive investing opportunity. Passive, meaning no active work in the investment. Now, even if you own the asset yourself, let's say you own a 50-unit apartment community, and let's say you manage it yourself, you're still not going to put in 40 hours per week into that asset because there's not a requirement to do that. There really isn't a requirement to do that. You can take care of that asset. And here's the thing. When you learn how to leverage other people's time, other people's money, other people's resources, you will learn how to put staff on your property so that you don't even need to be there. Pretty interesting, right? So when it comes to the time component associated with real estate investing, I'm only orchestrating the deal. I don't touch a hammer. I don't touch a paintbrush. I don't touch a paint roller. None of that stuff. Not that it's beneath me. That's not my point. What I've been taught to do is to work on my business, not to work in my business. Does that make sense? And when you understand that, what you will learn is that you don't need to spend 40 hours a week trying to find something to do when you own real estate, because at the end of the day, your time is your own. You will spend some of your time on your real estate, but you will spend the majority of your time doing whatever you want, because that's just kind of the way it is. What else have you heard about real estate that might be a false belief? Well, you've probably heard that you need a lot of money in order to make a lot of money. I remember hearing that when I was growing up. I remember my dad saying that. I remember emphatically my dad telling me that. And that actually, for me, triggered a false belief that unless I had $1 million to start with, I wasn't going to make $1 million. And that kind of guided my life. It guided my life into working for other people for a majority of my life, trying to do what I could do to get towards something called retirement, only to have it all blow up in my face when it came time to retire. You don't know the story? Okay, let me give you the story real quick. 27 years I spent serving in the United States Army. I earned a pension. I qualified for the pension. I still earn that pension today. But here's what you need to know. That pension only pays me one third of what I used to make when I was serving on active duty. So when I retired myself, I didn't really retire myself. I was physically retired from the Army, but I was not financially retired from the world. So I had to go back into the workforce. So I did. I went back into the workforce and I traded time for money because that's what I knew. And then I discovered Lifestyles Unlimited in 2017. Yeah, way back in 2017, I discovered Lifestyles Unlimited. And they had a message that was completely different than everything else I had been hearing. And the primary message that resonated with me was the message that I could retire myself in 5 years or less by doing what Lifestyles Unlimited teaches me to do. And for me, considering that my new retirement plan, now that I had a new job, was to work another 20 years, only working 5 of those years was like music to my ears. See, what was going on with the messaging I was receiving from Lifestyles Unlimited? They were forcing me to deal with some false beliefs that I had, because I used to believe that real estate was very risky. I used to believe that you had to have 40 hours at least per week to dedicate to your real estate investing, and that you had to start with $1 million if you were going to make $1 million. And none of that was true. And Lifestyles Unlimited was an organization that I became a member of that helped me to confront the false beliefs in my mind, to tear the false beliefs down, to rip them out of my brain, throw them into the gutter, and let them be washed away with the rainwater that comes from whatever that example was. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that I see things in a different light. I want you to see things in a different light too. So if you're having false beliefs, if you have false beliefs keeping you from having the life that you desire to have, in other words, retirement in the next 5 years, passive income coming in, not having to rely on your 401k or your IRA for your retirement strategy, when you learn that real estate is actually the conduit you need to be using, it's a game changer. It was a game changer for me. It was a game changer for the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited. It is a game changer for everybody that participates in what we do at Lifestyles Unlimited. If you want to do what I'm doing, you want to do what the 50,000 members of Lifestyles Unlimited are doing, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on Start Here, and let's get you going.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.